Welcome to the City Gospel Movement podcast, where we help to celebrate and accelerate City Gospel movements around the world. Today, we are doing our part two with Josh White, pastor of Door of Hope Church here in Portland, Oregon. Josh, you know, one of the things is the collaboration piece. Can you talk a little bit about that as just far as how essential is that in a city to be around the table with others who are thinking this way? And how does that change just your thinking and the way that you view this idea of an evangelism team?
Well, one of the things that's beneficial about being a part of a group is there is a natural, I think, a natural inclination for pastors, especially, who have been preaching week after week, year after year, to begin to drift from that central message. That we forget that a herald is someone who actually communicates an exact message from its master and commander. And so we don't have the freedom to mess with that message. And as witnesses, we're witnessing to the truth of who Jesus is. We don't graduate past the gospel. But that doesn't change this kind of human tendency to want to talk about, you know, let's maybe people will be more interested if we start talking about hot topic issues or kind of peripheral issues. And I think churches can lose themselves. And not that Christianity shouldn't speak to every facet of existence, but when we lose the gospel and replace it with what's new and what's interesting, that's problematic. One thing that's really beneficial about being in a group of pastors that are specifically talking about evangelism, it keeps it at the forefront of one's mind. And we all have the tendency to drift from that. And so keeping that a priority and being inspired, churches are inspired when they see people come to faith, because the most exciting people in the church are usually those who just came to faith, because they're just blown away. Like, and we need that constantly. And as a church ages, it can lose that identity. It's like almost like evangelism becomes unnecessary. So this group just for me keeps that as a fresh focus for me. And I need that every few months just to be reminded, oh, this is who I am. This is what we're called to be as a community. This has to be at the forefront or we die.
No, that's such a great reminder. This walking faith should be thrilling. And when we get to hear the stories or be reminded and be the person sitting in the pew watching people change their lives, that is thrilling. And that's what keeps just the momentum going. So, you know, one of the things that we have to assume is that most pastors who choose being a pastor as a profession have a desire for evangelism. How would you describe someone who would be part of an evangelism team and someone who wouldn't necessarily be the perfect fit for that?
Well, I think that it's a false assumption to think that every pastor or lead pastor is an evangelist. And I think that the scripture is clear. I mean, Paul says that God has given to the churches, you know, apostles and prophets and preachers and evangelists and teachers. And there's this beautiful blend of unique giftings within any community of faith. Oftentimes, churches are led, more times than not, by preacher teachers. And we all, there isn't a Christian who calls himself a follower of Jesus that shouldn't be about evangelism. That is, we're all called to be witnesses to the truth of who Jesus is. And that's why Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. There's a plurality in that reality, that Christ is the center of that message and what he did for us. And that's a component where every church, the entire community as a whole, is meant to proclaim that reality. But that doesn't mean that every lead pastor is a Luis Plow, you know. And the gift of evangelism, there are people that are uniquely gifted. I always say that really the evangelism at the end of the day, that unique gift, what I call the X factor that rests on a true evangelist, is this weird favor with non-believers. And that favor with non-believers combined with the same gospel message that we're all called to proclaim creates something very unique. And so I think that what we have to be constantly aware of within the church is that we need to care about evangelism. But if we're not naturally an evangelist, then it's our responsibility to identify those who have that gift within the community. And if you can't find it in the community, then being a part of a team like this allows us to say, well, let's invite Jose Zayas to come mm-hmm. and share the gospel at our church, because this is what it means to serve one another as part of the bigger body of Christ. And so when I started Door of Hope, I think like year two, I had Luis come and preach, and he just made fun of my holy jeans and told the church that they weren't paying
me enough. But not your tattoos?
Not my tattoos. Oh. He did say that those were crazy, and I didn't have a gold front tooth at the time. But he always finds something to pick on. But I'm like, I want to learn how to be a better evangelist. And so I had him come, and it was awesome. And people got saved, of course.
Yeah, that's great. I can't wait to tell Luis that he has a weird favor, that he's got this weird favor of evangelism.
He has what I call the X factor.
Yes.
I've had breakfast and lunch enough times with him to see the absolute charm that man has.
Yes.
It's like people know when he's in the room and he doesn't even try.
Yep. It is beautiful. It is something to behold for sure.
Combined with an absolute love for the gospel and for Jesus and for people.
Yeah. One of the things that I have been so struck by working here is watching someone who has never faltered from their one mission.
Mm-hmm.
Like he has stayed iron focused on what his mission is and has never faltered once from it. And it's really incredible to have even be a witness to.
It's really convicting when you're a Renaissance man.
It's beautiful.
The term I like to use for myself, which just means that I'm distracted and interested in everything, which is the danger at a church. I always tell my pastoral team, like, God didn't call us to be, if people come up to you after the sermon and say that was interesting, that isn't necessarily a compliment or even what we should be trying to achieve.
Right. that might be a nice way of saying, I didn't get it.
Exactly. Wow, it's like fireworks in the fog.
Yes. Josh, you're a busy guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing music. You just released an album, you said, or it's in production.
Yeah, it's not out yet.
Yes.
But I do keep making records.
Right.
I'm just too much of a perfectionist to put them out. Yes.
So, and you're a full-time teaching pastor with a large church here in Portland. Why make the time for this evangelism team?
Because I need the community and the accountability. And it's one way that I can serve the church as a whole, because it's something I'm mm-hmm. personally passionate about. So one of the reasons I even got asked to be a part of it is just because we do Church in the Park, which is open-air preaching. And what I am is I'm obsessed with the history of revivals, and there has been no revival in church history that didn't have an open-air element to it. And so we've sort of developed this, what would it look like if we just did church outside? Now, we're in Portland, so that's pretty limited. It's like
right.
3 months a year. But
or it's under a tent.
Yeah, exactly. But just that, I think the reason I was asked to be a part of the team and the reason I wanted to be a part of the team, because I'm absolutely fascinated with what does evangelism look like moving into the future? Is there a place for mass evangelism still? What does it look like within the church? What does it look like in everyday life for the believer who's just getting up and going to work, or the mom who's not going to work and staying home with the kids? How does evangelism affect the life of the church? And so those questions really matter to me, and it's best to work those out in the context of community.
Oh, that's great. Well, we're so glad you said yes to joining the team. And what would be your dream for this team to accomplish in the city of Portland?
Well, my prayer is that we would see a legitimate revival in the city in my lifetime. And there is not going to be a revival if we aren't faithful to preach the gospel. I always say that we can't cause a revival, but we can prevent it. God is responsible for revivals, but there's no revival if God's people aren't seeking him faithfully. So I always say that evangelism needs to be deeply connected to the prayer life of the community and a yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. In a commitment to the scriptures. And so my prayer is that we as a team would continue to inspire each other and other pastors within the community and continue to think of ways to keep the call to proclaim the gospel at the forefront of everyone's attention. We're not serving the city if we're not preaching Jesus. And that's, I think, a really important distinction. There's lots of that the gospel has to be the thing that informs our service.
And Josh, you and I are Gen Xers. We are not millennials.
I am not a millennial.
Nope, I am not either. And, sometimes we hear millennials slightly cringe at the word evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
What would your response to that be?
I always say it's silly. It's like I remember there was this one young woman in particular that didn't like the word saved. I'm like, what do you want me to? I mean, evangelism itself is it's a biblical word, and so I think that what I always try to tell people is for those that are concerned or worried about, you know, that the gospel isn't going to, nobody that they know is going to, would believe it, or like the Christianity is, it's outdated, and the language is, you know, why should we have a unique language that we, when we talk about the gospel, and what does it even mean to say that? I always just say that, it just remind people that it was good enough to save them. Why would we assume it's not good enough to save others? If it worked in bringing if it actually brought transformation to your life, you should be quite happy to say, I'm saved and I'm called to evangelize. And so I always try to help people. I love language, and I think our vocabulary matters a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are words that are worth defending, evangelism being one of them, gospel being one of them, grace being one of them. And so understanding the language that actually helps define the world in which we live is really important. And so when people push back against, you know, vocabulary as a Christian, even around the concept of evangelism, like, oh, it's pushy or it's proselytizing. And only Christians think that. Then a non-believer who's lost and hurting and broken need to know that Jesus loves them. And really what I have found is that people, and we have this assumption that nobody in Portland wants to talk about Jesus, but it's totally not true. Are there some people that don't? Of course. But you're never going to know who does if you don't take the risk, and faith is a risk. Jesus never said it was safe or easy. I think we put way too much emphasis on happiness. I don't think that's even anything that the scripture promises. That's an American falsehood. I think what he promises is joy in the midst of struggle. Mm-hmm. And that's what human existence is. And if we identify that and recognize that we have something to offer, legitimately offer to people suffering, which is a foundation in Jesus. He doesn't promise to remove our pain, but he does promise to be with us in the midst of it. I think that should be the motivator for stepping out of our comfort zone and becoming true witnesses to the King.
Well said. Josh, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Yeah.
If you want to hear more about Josh, go to Door of Hope.
It's doorofhopepdx.org.
doorofhopepdx.org.
Yep.
Thanks so much, Josh. This was really insightful, and we thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.